Yo, Adrian.
Oh, yeah.
I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.
Most of the time.
And where's the rest of your brain?
I think it's still back in Pennsylvania. It's sitting there going, duh.
See, there it is.
There it is.
Anyway, joining us is Roland Pinto. Did I get that right?
You
I always
it.
Ask if I got it right.
Absolutely.
I won't get the name right.
Maya.
Mm-hmm. Group. Anyway, how you doing, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Now, you just said that we do everything.
Well, we... Yeah,
today, Oshkosh. Tomorrow, the world! Right?
That works.
Yes.
And you build the Cosmos trike, which is a weight shift trike, but it's a delta wing, not a Regala wing. It's not a soft wing. It's actually a rigid, you know, built-up wing, correct?
Correct.
Cool. And that's obviously an ultralight.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of those have you got out there?
Oh, man, probably 600 of those.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot.
They go a lot of places, just slowly.
They go slow.
Yeah.
But they're fun.
Oh, I can imagine.
Well, that's the key. You want something that's slow to be fun.
Okay, because there's no other reason to be up there then.
No, if you're going slow, you're
and it's
sitting...
not fun,
oh,
you
boy.
Bought the wrong airplane.
You're having a bad day.
Yeah. So, what's new?
Well, we're here for the first time.
Really?
At Oshkosh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
As exhibitors. It's been one hell of a week.
Yeah, yeah. I bet there's a lot of interest because people are, you know, low-cost flying is really resurging.
Absolutely. Yeah, we came with our simulation company, Fly the Sim.
Okay.
So that's actually what we were displaying that on.
Now, is it a sim? Is it a sim of the Cosmos or something more sophisticated?
No, we've got 170 various cockpits, 172s, 182s.
Wow.
Four 340, the whole Piper line, the whole Cirrus line.
747, 800.
Yeah, there you go.
Minus a whole bunch of hundreds.
Yeah,
there you go.
The .8.
Right.
Yeah, so you're marketing this to flight schools, or is this something I can afford? Or
yeah, you can totally afford it. We're probably I'd say by number of simulators sold, we're probably the largest simulator OEM in terms of units of simulators sold. We sell over 1,000 units a year.
Now, these are not full-motion simulators.
No. They're beautiful visual system simulators.
Okay. Yeah. Multi-screen.
Absolutely. Level B or BATDs, the AATD, FAA-certified simulators. It's
okay.
A lot of fun.
So flight schools love these things.
Love them. And owners love them. Over 40% of our customer base puts them in their home.
You can use them for IFR practice then.
Absolutely. Your IPC. And
nice.
Totally. And the price points are great. Very affordable.
Okay, ready?
Go ahead.
I don't know. Let's go get one is what I'm saying. You ready to go get one?
Yeah, we can do that.
I have a credit card machine in my bag.
I don't
Woo-hoo!
Doubt it.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're simulated pilots.
Hey, listen, we can go and simulate flying under bridges.
Oh.
Actually, we do that. Yeah.
No,
oh, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Well, we've
just not when the FAA is around.
No.
Right,
complete
with a phone call after you land.
Yeah, really.
Right. Simulated.
That's a simulator.
Call Absolutely. The tower.
Absolutely. You know, just anything that we can do to help change the negative slope of pilots. I mean, we're losing pilots.
Yeah.
We need more pilots. You know, and I think the EAA has done an incredible job of just bringing to the attention of the world aviation and the sport of aviation and us on the OEM side. It's incredible to be part of that EAA vision and to take part in that, to do what we need to do to help change the slope from a negative to a positive.
Now, the video game generation, the millennial, the Gen X, all those, they're so familiar with this. Do you find that they can just hop right into the simulator like they were born there and go?
I think that they can hop right into the simulator and figure out like G1000.
Okay.
A lot easier than my father can, for instance.
Right.
But,
right.
The millennials are pretty quick to pick this up. The Xers are pretty quick to pick up aviation. I think it's, you know, once they get past the game component, there's a lot of interest in actually learning how to fly. Getting a license. But I think that part of our solution set, and we own a portfolio of flight schools also, but I mean, part of our solution set is to make flying pleasurable, to show during training to the student what can you do with a pilot's license, not just follow the rigid curriculum that's set by the FAA requirements, but to take students out and go have lunch, to do a Saturday afternoon flight with if it's a young lady flying, then take her boyfriend with her and the instructor and go visit somewhere and then hop on the sim before and practice the practice the approaches or practice the run. So it's, you know, we're all it's just a really awesome industry.
And well, with the advent of the home-based simulator, mm-hmm. this is actually something that is up and coming. A lot of people I'm hearing are doing exactly that. They're not sure where they're going. They want to get familiar with the airport, so they fire up the old simulator and boom, they run the flight.
Absolutely.
And then when they get to the airplane, it's a piece of cake.
Absolutely.
Just like drill.
There you go.
Yeah. I had a really great question and it just went.
Ha. I'm not the only one who gets derailed. Nah, yeah, nah.
You derailed me.
But you were the one that asked him about his brain earlier.
Yeah, I know.
See,
he took mine.
That's right. That's karma, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very inexpensive way to find out if you like flying, I guess.
I know.
Yes.
Okay, what's the question?
No. The one thing I recall, simulator, you're never nervous.
No.
Yeah. As a student pilot.
Depends who's watching.
Yeah. As a student pilot, though, you have those, I used to call them like wet shirt moments. When you're out there flying and you don't realize how hard you're and then when you land and you're like, oh my God, I'm
drenched.
Soaked. Yeah.
I'm going to chisel the hand off the yoke.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Most people would call that a brown pants moment.
No. It's not. It's not quite. It's one step less than a brown pants. Brown pants moment is when you screw up a power on stall.
Yeah.
Or have engine failure at 15 in total, hours total time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or you're coming in on final as a third or fourth landing thinking, oh, I got this landing greased. And then the instructor starts screaming at you to go around because there's a skunk on the runway.
Right. Oh, you don't want to hit the skunk.
No, I didn't want to hit the skunk. Yeah. I never even saw the skunk.
I understand. That's
so
great.
Yeah. Can you do that in a simulator?
Can
I reach over and go and make the engine quit?
Absolutely.
Make the left wing fall off? And
I don't know about the left wing falling off. I think we build airplanes pretty well.
Better
today.
Than that?
Geez, I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, the simulator, it's the key there for us is to make it the airplane sucks as a classroom. It really does. I mean, it's really hard to learn in an airplane. I mean, the airplane is, the airplane's the proving ground. So the more you can do on the ground, the more you can work with your instructor on maneuvers and what they look like and how to enter and exit them and execute them and then practice them on the ground in a no-stress environment, the better you're going to be in the airplane.
Right.
We just think that. And we also are firm believers of six-pack training. You know, get away from all the automation in the private stages of your training and learn how to be an aviator.
Learn how to fly the airplane. Right.
You know, if all your equipment, I was flying in the SFRA in DC. I had electrical failure. This is like 3 weeks ago.
Oh boy.
And I'm in my Bonanza, small cabin fire electrical. And I lost everything.
Oops.
iPad, everything was dead. So the only thing that I had was a handheld and paper charts in the SFRA going in between the freeze and a restricted area.
Nice.
And we still have to teach people how to aviate.
Right, how to fly.
And I think
now,
the SAM is great for that.
Here's the question. Did you declare an emergency?
I did not declare an emergency.
Ooh, you sneaky dog, you.
No, I just didn't want to deal with the paperwork.
Right.
Yeah, but we kept trucking. We were able to get through with the handheld. It was a little difficult, but
a little challenging. A little bit of a wet shirt moment.
Yeah, it wasn't really a wet shirt. I mean, if you're comfortable in your own airplane and you're good and you've got the equipment, like a flashlight and a handheld.
Yeah.
And you got paper charts and you know how to use them, I think you're okay.
It's a question of remembering exactly where you are at that moment.
Well, you can't ever forget where you are. You always have to know when you fly.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah. I think.
There's no relaxing in the cockpit.
No navigating.
Not a lot. Not in the SFRA, at least. Maybe over Nebraska.
Yeah.
Well, the FAA still requires that you have paper charts, even though you have, say, an electronic alternative. So that's a good thing. I would have declared an emergency,
sure.
But that's my judgment.
His level of experience and familiarity with the airplane itself.
Yeah, I have about
four. You got a different level.
I have about 4 hours in the airplane. I would have gone, no!
Yeah.
I think it's also
an emergency for us is when we drop our pen.
I understand. I think it's also a matter of knowing how to read charts and knowing how to use them. And I think, we do a lot of that, at least in our flight schools, our EVET flight schools. We do a lot of paper chart training. We do a lot of, the student really has to constantly know where they're at, and they can't just look at a screen. Right. They have to know where they're at.
I look at those charts, and the amount of information that's on there is just completely overwhelming. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it and saying, how the heck do you figure out where you are? You can't see anything on it except for these towers and mountains and airports and all the other stuff. It can be very confusing to the beginner.
Yeah, our incredible government's done a great job of just providing an amazing amount of data on those charts. It's accurate. It's exact. I mean, you really can't get lost.
Now, I guess the fallout you see, the glass cockpit, the level of technology, the level of information, it's hard to convince someone to get their head out of the screen, instruments and out the window.
Yeah.
So I guess
and that's why, you know, with Fly the Sim, we make these simulators that you know, if somebody wants to fly Cessnas, well, there's 35 different Cessna cockpits that comes with a Cessna pack, so they can learn on six pack, and then they can, you know, migrate to a G1000 or 430s or my favorite, the Aspen, the Aspen Pro 1500s, or, you know, I mean, it's just they can switch and pick and choose, and it's fast and quick, and they can learn, and it's really the right. I mean, we need aviators, not control operators up there.
Right, right, not button pushers.
No, yep.
We don't need George Jetson, at least not yet.
Not yet.
Well, I want to thank you. Wait a minute. Where are you on the field first?
So we're in booth C. We're in Hangar C.
Okay, go find them. Hangar C.
Hangar C.
I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Roland Pinto of the Maya Group. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And this has been EAA Radio.